They're echoing their original position. Look at that. That throws that up.
Please stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaylor.
Here.
Grunch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Sansom.
Here.
Town.
Here.
Quorum present.
Okay. In the event that Commissioner Town receives a call during the meeting, we're going to allow him to leave without motion or anything. So that's okay with everyone.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. We'll move on. Consent agenda. The purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask at any time or any item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. And today we just have the minutes from the regular City Commission meeting of July 9th. And everybody's comfortable with them, we'll ask for a motion.
I'll make the motion to accept consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Gaylord.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sansom.
Aye.
Town.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item of business is hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items, 5-minute limit. Do we have anyone in the audience that wishes to address the commission on a non-agenda item? Okay. Next item of business is correspondence. We have 3 letters that each commissioner should have a photocopy of, acknowledging. We have one from the Boyne Area 4-H Swim Board, one from the City of Manistee's Mayor, and a correspondence from Consumers Energy regarding a 2013 Community Tree Planting Grant Program. Do we have any questions on the commission's part? Okay, moving forward, City Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mayor. While the summer in Boyne City has been a good one so far, what we have seen this July has been exceptional. Starting with the purchase and reopening of the park side, followed by the wonderful 4th of July and Boyne Thunder activities and the new airport open house, the purchase of the Dilworth Hotel, and the Grain Train announcing that they will be opening their first new store right here in Boyne City. This is lots of good news reflecting lots of efforts by lots of people to make things happen. Boyne City's ongoing success is truly a team effort, and my hunch is that there will be more to come. The Douglas Street reconstruction project is well underway and going fine so far. The auditors were here at City Hall for their on-site portion of their annual audit. They wrapped up here on Friday. We expect to have their full report sometime in September, and when we get it, we will schedule their presentation to the City Commission. On this past Saturday, Mayor Grunch, Jim Bauman, and myself had the pleasure of welcoming U.S. Senator Carl Levin to Boyne City. We had the opportunity to visit with Senator Levin for about 45 minutes, and his regional representative, Gabe Schneider, on a wide range of subjects, from the levels of the Great Lakes to community development block grant funding in Sunset Park. It was a good, informal discussion. Interviews were held yesterday with 4 candidates for the assistant planner position. Background checks are now being conducted. It is hoped that we'll have somebody here to introduce at our next city commission meeting. Our second application of dust control on our unpaved streets and some alleys took place in most of town yesterday. They'll be completing their work over the next couple of days. The last section of our main launch pier was removed from the water just before Boeing Thunder due to settling issues related to what appeared to be boat power loading washout. We are looking into solution or at least fixes to the immediate problem so we can return that section back to service. We were able to get through Boeing Thunder without any major problems due to that section being out. It has been determined that the airplane that ran off the runway and into a fence at the airport last fall and has been stored in the hangar at the airport ever since will be disassembled so it can be transported out of the airport and sold off for parts. This should be taking place over the next couple of weeks. Oral arguments on the Kirtland Products lawsuit were rescheduled from last week and are scheduled to be heard this afternoon at 1:30 p.m. in Charlevoix. Our planning director, Scott, who's with us right now, will be heading up to court to be with our city attorney, Jim Murray, for the proceedings, and we'll keep you posted as that process unfolds. On a related Kirtland matter, we've been informed by the state today that Kirtland's request for a modified emissions permit is still under review and has not been modified as of yet. I'll be out of the office most of next week through August 7th, spending time with my family from across the country as they make their annual pilgrimage to Northern Michigan. I'll be close by in the area if needed for most of the time. In September, I plan on attending the International City Managers Association Convention in Boston. I try to attend one of these conferences every few years, especially when they're relatively closer to us. The last one I attended was in Milwaukee a couple of years ago. The conference runs September 22nd through 25th, and that conflicts with our September 24th meeting. As we get closer to that date, we see what's looking to be on the agenda. I'll bring to the commission a meeting options on how you may want to proceed with handling that meeting. If you have any questions on these or other items, feel free to let me know.
Thank you, Mike. Any commissions? Derek?
Thank you. Mike, did the DEQ give us a date when they're going to have a decision made?
On the
emissions modification?
No, it sounds like they were, and Scott might have some additional information, that they were waiting for information from Kirtland, which they've now received, so they're analyzing that information, but there, as Scott can correct me, I don't think they gave any clear indication as to when.
That's correct. They didn't indicate any specific date, but they said they just received the necessary data to begin that review, and it'll probably take a few weeks to do that.
Could it be they're waiting for the court case, too?
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think the DEQ is. I don't know if it had any... I don't know what the issue was with regards to getting the data to the DEQ. I couldn't really speculate on that.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay, our next item on the agenda is reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. And today we have the June 13th financial statement. Does anyone have a question for Cindy or Mike? Derek?
Where's the senior center fund that in the repayment process?
Well, we wanted to wait because we've got some delinquent personals that we were able to collect this last couple of weeks on some properties. One that was recently sold. So I'll be probably closing that one out shortly and giving the senior center their money. That was the last we had hanging out from that era.
Give them the money or what they owed the city?
I think you're talking of two different things. Okay. I think Derek's talking with regards to what the housing commission
That's two different things, yeah. Okay. The Boyne Senior Center does not owe the city any money.
Okay.
This was their millage.
Okay. Yeah, my question was on that.
Housing Commission?
Yeah, we went through the whole process with the feds getting involved, and we're making headway there. About 20-something thousand, I think.
I don't know the current amount that's outstanding. I know Jane McKenzie has budgeted as part of their budget approval process to be reducing that through the year.
Okay.
That's something that's been an ongoing problem for a number of years, but she's looking at over, it'd probably take a couple of years to actually zero that out.
It sounded like everything was kind of getting back in place and
yes.
got
it
the
is.
Green light. And
it is.
I just wonder if they were starting.
Yeah, haven't had any negative reports or indications from HUD or anything like that. All the reports we get from Ms. McKenzie and the Housing Commission is that things are really progressing up there. I think things have really gone much smoother since Ms. McKenzie came on board. And one of her things was to approve a work through the board and get a budget approved that did look to, again, reduce the expenditure or the debt that they have to the city.
Sure. Okay. Yes, that's the one who's in crime. I apologize if I missed.
And payments are consistent.
Okay.
Very consistent, yes.
Okay.
Just a ballpark figure, where are we now? I know we started out about 130.
At fiscal year end, it was 86,000. Mm-hmm.
So they've worked that down in a year's time. Mm-hmm. Probably less than a year's time. That's excellent. Okay. Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome. All
the things are going well there, then.
Yeah.
Much better. Good leadership.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Unfinished business, and we have none to talk about today. New business. First item is the Boyne Mountain Grant Community Development Plan. Consideration to approve the Boyne City CDBG Community Development Plan as part of the Boyne Mountain Expansion Project. And let's see. Mike, are you handling that? Or?
Well, I'll start off with it. Then we have Jan Keller from the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance, who's basically coordinating and facilitating all the paperwork that's required on this project for Boyne Mountain, is here with us. She's developed the memo that's in your agenda packet and the proposed community development plan, which is a requirement of these to receive these community development block grant funds. We've done these types of plans for basically all the major grants that we've received community development block grant funds over the years, and this project is no exception. I've reviewed the plan that Jan put together. It looked fine to me, and we're concurring with her recommendation that the City Commission approve it. I don't know if Jan has anything else you'd like to add for the Commission, or you have other questions?
This community development plan does not become your official community plan or anything like that. It's just a requirement of the grant. And they just want to make sure that you looked at your community and housing needs for Boyne City, and that this project meets one of those needs of your community. And so the plan that was developed, it follows the outline that the MEDC requires. Look at some current statistics for the city, for population and economics and housing, and then list some long-term and short-term project.
And
so it's just one of the steps of the grant process.
Thank you, Jan. Do we have any staff members that or department heads that have questions in regards to this grant? Okay. If not, we'll move to the commission. And Gene, would you like to start?
Yeah, sure. I've read it all over and. I'm in support of the community development plan, grant-defined plan.
Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a quick question on the, from Jan on your memo, where it talks about the, and you kind of touched on it in your opening about that we've looked at, you know, all of our needs in the community and how does this fit in. I just need a little clarification to make sure that since it was for an expansion, sewer expansion project for Boyne Mountain, how would we articulate as the city on this type of grant that improves the citizens of Boyne City directly, other than being just a requirement of this process to help them?
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the whole goal of this expansion is right. To create jobs, and the company is committed to creating 45 new jobs as a result.
How do we articulate that those come from the citizens of Boyne City?
Well, those jobs will be open, of course, to
right.
anybody with them in the city of Boyne City.
So that's how we
nearby. So, hopefully there'll be some folks from Boyne City.
All right, so that's how we connect the dots by saying that
right.
this is a job creation project.
Right. That's
not the result of the project, it's the process of creating
that. Because of the sewer expansion, mm-hmm. Boyne Mountain can expand, and then they'll add 45 new jobs. And that's really the whole the whole public purpose behind this,
sure,
granting this money, because, you know, it's,
right,
taxpayers' dollars, and, you know, why should we be giving that to a company? But they are promising to create new jobs, which helps the citizens.
Is there a requirement to articulate how many were created during the project?
And that has to be tracked, and
okay,
at least 51% of those jobs have to go to low to moderate income people, and all that stuff has to be tracked.
Great.
All right, thank you for the clarification.
Laura?
I don't have any real issues with it. There is one, I think, typographical error.
Okay.
On section 3,
yeah, 33,
where it says Boyne City's population grew from 6.6% from 3,500 to 33, so it should be like 37. And maybe it's transposed 37,
yeah,
35, it should have been.
Okay.
37, 35.
38, 35?
Or
37.
Yeah. I just figured it was a transposition, probably.
Right. Any further questions, Laura?
No, I don't really have any. We went over this last meeting. I believe it was last meeting. Yeah.
Tom?
So.
I'm also in support. I appreciate how government entities can work together to make things happen. That's what this is all about. So I'm in support.
Okay, I fully support this proposal too, and I'll ask for a motion from the commission.
Make a motion to approve the Boyne City CDBG Community Development Plan as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Just to let the commission know, we're trying as much as possible to group items related to this project so it doesn't keep coming back meeting after meeting after meeting. But some of the stuff from the state, they're telling us when we have to bring it forward. So my preference, and I think Dan's too, is to try and bring as much of it to you at once so you can kind of look at the big picture. But there are some little dribs and drabs like this that come out that we'll have to attend to as we go through the process.
Okay, next item today is the placemaking microgrant opportunity. Consideration to apply for a placemaking microgrant from Northwest Michigan Council of Governments for improvements to Old City Park is outlined and authorizes staff to move forward with a appropriate application. And Mike, I guess you've done the summary on it for us. So.
Yes. We provided for the City Commission again the background materials we received from the Northwestern Michigan Council of Governments regarding a grant opportunity that I think we might want to take advantage of. At the bottom of page 1 of their attached notice, and then continuing to the top of page 2, are some examples of the types of projects that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. They're calling this placemaking it. I'm looking at small public improvements. And we're recommending that we submit a project requesting the $5,000 maximum amount for improvements to Old City Park, which would involve new park identification signage off of East Street, development of free Wi-Fi access at the site, and then additional park furnishings as well, either picnic tables or benches. And we put together a budget, a total budget of about $10,000. We're anticipating the grant would provide half of that, and local match the other half, so $5,000 each. The specific numbers with regards to the signage, Wi-Fi, and furnishings might vary as the estimates that we're receiving get a little bit firmer, but we're not anticipating that the local match would increase at all. We believe these combinations of improvements would make for a highly competitive grant while also providing features that would encourage new users and existing users of the park and uses for the park while maintaining its traditional character. This grant was announced earlier this month and applications are due on August 2nd. The Parks and Recreation Commission approved the attached motion, which is provided for the commission at their meeting last week. So it's our recommendation that if the City Commission is supportive of this project and the application, that we request and consider and approve a motion stating such and authorize the staff to move forward with an appropriate application. I'd be glad to try and address any questions you might have.
Do we have any department head or staff comments in regards to grant for Old City Park? Citizens' comments. Jim.
Thank you, Mayor. Jim Bauman with the Boyne Area Chamber. That park is just a great place, and I think, you know, every little bit we could do to enhance it is a great idea. You know, the improvements that the city made 2 or 3 years ago really, I think, improved the park greatly. You know, I'm over there every Wednesday night introducing the music for evenings at the gazebo. It's just a beautiful park. Even when it's hot outside, you've got shade. The benches are good, are great. Having a few more picnic tables, I think, would be great. Wi-Fi, anytime they do little stuff like that, I think it just makes it more attractive for our residents and for the visitors alike. So I encourage you to do that. I'm glad to see you're trying to, you know, do little things to make it better. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Anyone else? Okay, we'll move to the board for discussion. Derek, would you like to start?
Correct me if I'm wrong, did we not approve the budget for already for picnic tables? I believe Laura had mentioned something about that. But we are going to buy some, Andy?
I think we're going to buy 6 or 8 new ones.
Yeah, yeah. I thought we already had that in there.
Right,
that
but
I mean, I don't know how many we plan on putting over there.
Well, we could always use more. We're still constantly hauling the tables around on busy weekends to fulfill needs in different areas. In fact, we're working on some of that right now. We're ordering planks right now for some of those. So we had some extra sets of legs that were wrong ones. The company shipped to us and told us to keep. So we're just utilizing those and ordering plank kits for them here and there as we go through the year. So
you would take the ones that we budgeted for City Park and use them somewhere else?
Well, I mean, they're all used wherever we need them. You know, and the budget was just for the park system.
I'll let Commissioner Sansom kind of articulate what her viewpoints were on that, but I thought we were discussing strictly for Old City Park at that point. I'd have to go back and look at the minutes, but I just want to make sure that was for the... Go ahead.
Just to clarify, my intention was just to increase the number of benches and picnic tables that we offer throughout our park system, whether it's Sunset Park or Veterans Park or Old City Park or wherever they're needed, just so that we have enough, we have more so we don't have to move them around as much so that they are available at different locations,
yeah,
you know, in a greater number than we currently have, and we can always use more. So if we can increase and get a grant for some of them and still add more in, I don't think we'll have way too many. We've got enough visitors to fill them up. Okay. I'll let you finish.
All right. I thought I heard it as Old City Park, but that's fine. Mm-hmm. On to the Wi-Fi. Who's going to put the infrastructure in? Who's going to maintain the monthly bill? Who pays that? And where does that come from for additional free Wi-Fi?
Mm-hmm. That could ultimately be our expense with regards to it. Yeah.
That's my concern. Mm-hmm. With the grant gets you going, then we have an ongoing continual expense. I know there's Wi-Fi downtown. It's a pay service right now. Is there free Wi-Fi? I might have scanned and seen.
Individual businesses have free Wi-Fi downtown.
Right. I think
it's available at locations.
Yeah,
the library, it spills over into their parking lot. We do have it. We just didn't set it up here in in Veterans Park.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's available and free. We're going to look to partner with Harbor House.
Yeah.
We haven't worked through the details of that yet. Depending on what the load is on their system, we might be able to get it for free. If it is, depending on how it, you know, impacts their business and their security, we may have to set up our own system off of that. Then we'd be looking at probably about a $30 or $40 charge a month.
That's all I have.
Okay. Anything further, Laura?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just taking off on the free Wi-Fi access, I think that would be something that would be used very much in the community, but should that not, I guess, once you resolve how it's going to get paid for and monthly bill and whatnot, should that not maybe come through Main Street rather than through the city, or?
It could very well be.
Okay.
And I guess we'll have to address that issue when we get to that point.
And it being not technologically educated to the point of how far away can you access that Wi-Fi? Because they could, if they have free Wi-Fi access now at Harbor House, could you not pick up from across the river at this point?
No, not through, not have good coverage throughout the park. I mean, that's the same issue that we kind of ran into with the change that we did at the marina recently.
Mm-hmm.
We had our own basically residential router that was up in the lighthouse,
okay.
And it could hit parts of the marina,
mm-hmm.
But it didn't cover all of Veterans Park,
okay.
Where the farmer's market is and things of that nature.
Right.
That's why Main Street and the farmer's market and the marina partnered and set up the new system that we have out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of
mm-hmm.
thinking of a smaller version of that.
Okay.
So that's where we came up with the cost estimates for that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still learning on that. We're kind of going through some growing pains as that one gets active. It's collapsed a couple times,
mm-hmm.
The system. I mean, one was over the 4th of July, but it can only handle like 200 users, and we had a lot more than that in the park over the 4th of July. So we're still working through some bugs on that, and we'll take what we learned from that and apply it here.
All right. And then on the additional...
I should mention, we were able to do that using the existing internet bandwidth that we already had here at City Hall.
Okay.
And we're hooked up with Charter, and we basically took a separate connection that we used to have a couple of years ago for the police department, City Hall, and the MSU extension, and combined them all. So we all had separate accounts and had our own service. And we combined them all to one service through the police department, and we're all operating on that, and we were able to extend it out into Veterans Park without having to upgrade our service or things of that nature. Again, we're still trying to work out to make sure that doesn't cause us some long-term problems,
mm-hmm.
and we're hoping the same will be able to apply when we partner with Harbor House. But again, they've been very generous and said, yes, we can hang your equipment on their building and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
Where it will be secure and have a good, basically, arc over the river and then mm-hmm. through the park. But again, I want to make sure that we don't outwear our welcome and
mm-hmm.
cause them some grief as well, too. So I can't guarantee that we might not have to get, as Commissioner Gaylor brought up, you know, our own service.
Mm-hmm. I guess a couple additional questions. On the furnishings, it says picnic tables are $700 each and benches are $900 each, as the example. So
yeah.
How does that break down on furnishings, like how many benches and how many, or is it just kind of a ballpark?
I haven't broken that down.
Okay.
I was looking for input from either this group or the other groups, and I'm trying to keep it as vague as the application will allow us, so we
okay.
can change it depending on what people think our needs are.
All right.
Again, the limitation on that will be okay. It'll be within the $4,500 cap
okay.
we have for that amount.
All right. And I guess I do have one other additional. The old City Park sign.
Yes.
That's going proposed to be on the East Street side, which would be right on the corner, basically.
Yes.
Okay, so that you can see it going up and down the street on East Street.
Correct.
Okay.
And the rationale for that was because we have a lot of traffic. I mean, that's one of our main corridors through
right.
town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we hit a lot of visitors who aren't familiar with town.
Mm-hmm.
Most everybody else that's coming up and down East Street, a lot of them are more, at least more of them, I would think, are long-term residents or people that might be a little bit more familiar with the area.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, we might be able to start to pull people that might just be passing through going to the city with that sign and saying, okay, here's something worth checking out.
All right. And then the little sign that hangs below that
yes.
says Concerts Wednesday, which is really nice. Is there going to be a way to add more signs to those, like sub-signs if needed?
We could, and that one's scheduled to be removable, so during the
right.
winter months that'll disappear. And
right, and, or different things going on. There might be a different event maybe in the winter months or something that you could have another sign.
I mean, that's a possibility. That isn't anything we've built into the budget at this point.
Okay. But as long as it's a removable,
yes.
that's what I was wondering about.
Yeah, if it's
okay.
removable, then it's changed.
Okay. All right. Good.
Well, I'm in favor of this, and again, I appreciate the staff's ability to write and apply and find grants. We are only spending 50 cents on the dollar. I appreciate how we work with Northwest Michigan Council of Governments, to governments working together to make good things happen. On the Wi-Fi, if Harbor House didn't work out, you also have Consumers Power or Dr. Moscow or the park site that might be willing to, I mean, they have the same proximity, so that might work, especially Consumers Power, it seems like.
They're a little further away, and I'm not sure exactly what and the reason I picked Harbor House was we have a good working relationship with them, but even more importantly than that, they have a very robust internet connection for their business. They transfer a lot of large files and things of that nature with their publishing, where they're sending magazine samples and all that type of stuff back and forth with their approves. Where I don't think, you know, Country Now or them, you know, we might be an option over there at Caldwell Banker as well, too. They might have a robust system. But I'm thinking, and we've already had discussions with Harbor House, and they're willing so far. And they were kind of centrally located in the park back.
And lastly, I respect staff recommending Old City Park and Parks and Rec coming in unanimously, but personally I thought that maybe Sunset Park could be looked at too, because, man, the people sure gather down there and sit and get and walk, and you could certainly use more benches, more seating, more flower beds, more walkways at Sunset Park, so maybe that could be looked at in the future.
We talked about that a lot at staff, and there's really, I think there's a desire to do more at Sunset Park with regards to, you know, addition to furnishings. Matter of fact, I was talking to Jim when we were waiting for Senator Levin on Saturday, talking about Wi-Fi. REMAX used to have a repeater that was in the back window of the chamber that kind of provided it out there. It isn't there right now, but we're talking about there may be options to get internet service out there as well, too. But with the $5,000, it looked like it could do good for helping us kind of fine-tune Old City Park, which is pretty much in place, versus a larger project on Sunset. And we've got something else that we're looking, other things that we're looking at with regards to Sunset, to see if there's some options for some additional plans there as well, too, to implement some of the stuff from the waterfront master plan that was done a couple of years ago.
Okay. I mean, I appreciate that. But I am in support.
Jane?
Yeah, I'm in support of any improvements we can make to any of our parks. I think the more we can improve them, the more they'll be utilized by our citizens, and I'm in support of the recommendation.
I'm also in support of it. A couple of questions, though. Can any of this money be used for improving the gazebo itself, particularly for Andy there? I think about the fascia. You know, it needs some help from time to time, and also the uprights on the rail inside, some of them are battered, and, you know, the upper ceiling there could probably use a good painting, too. And it's, can any of this money of this grant be used in that way, too?
I think it would be a bit of a stretch. I mean, they're directing it towards placemaking. I think they're looking to do new things that are going to bring people to a facility or let them provide ways to interact. I don't think maintenance of an existing structure would do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the gazebo is important, but it's already there. I think that's kind of Christmas.
Yeah, and I think about the other thing in the gazebo also is that the floor in the main gazebo, you know, the discoloration to it, you know, if there's some kind of a decorative or enamel or epoxy that's not slippery or has got sand in it or, you know, some kind of a non-slip product, that could sure use a dressing up in there too. So it's, we might consider that, whether this applies or not. So the other thing I have is, you know, with the different events that have happened on the waterfront this year and even previous to that is requests for more benches on the west side of the marina, you know, for people just to sit there in the shade and look at the lake, and it's, we're somewhat limited there, and it's, you know, so anyways, I support this, and anything we can do on 50 cents on the dollar is a bargain, so. ask for a motion or further discussion?
Just one quick follow-up. Mike, since you didn't bring like a quote from a vendor on the Wi-Fi, seems a little pricey. If you're able to implement it for far less than that, how was that since we got, is it just your allocation on the 3,500 or do you have to tell the grant this is what we're going to spend in this area? Because if we got money left over, let's say we did it for 1,500 or 1,000, then what do we do?
I would hope that we could.
Right.
I'm going to try and word it in such a way that we might have those opportunities. Okay. I'm not sure how flexible they're going to be with regards to, let's say we get the full $5,000 and we run low on one, could I use it for more benches or furnishings, which I'd really like to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that's kind of on the high end, but
I'm hoping it's high.
My question is how are they going to hold us to that? And then if they say, okay, that 3,500 is your Wi-Fi project, then we submit the documentation, show what it costs. What happens to that extra money? Our 50 cents obviously goes back in the general fund. Do we have to return that other?
We probably wouldn't get it from them in the first place. It'll probably be on a reimbursement basis.
Oh, so it's a reimbursement.
Well, I'm not sure yet on that.
I didn't notice that. That's mm-hmm. If it was reimbursement, then I wouldn't even ask that question.
Most of the grants that we get, they don't just give us a check for the money. They wait for us to have the bills.
Okay.
And they'll, you know, I would assume that if we get the whole $5,000, and we only, let's say we only spent for a $10,000 project, we only spent $7,500, we'd only get half of that $7,500 back.
Okay. All right.
What I would think it would be.
I also have a question for Andy, if I may, before we do the.
Sure.
How many benches do we currently have? How many picnic tables do we currently have? And do we ever lose any of them?
Well, I know we've never lost any.
Okay.
We've had some that we've taken out of service because they've become, you know, some of the old wooden tables are now out of service.
Right.
And we've gotten rid of them because they were just falling apart way too badly. The total number, I'm going to say right now, I believe we have about 21 picnic tables.
Okay.
And the benches, I think there's 10 or 12. I'm not totally sure.
If we only have 10 or 12 benches total for the whole town.
And we have 4,000 or 5,000 people show up.
Yeah.
That's in the parks, and that's not including what we have downtown.
Okay.
Yeah. I believe there's 10 or 12 downtown.
Right. Okay.
And sometimes we pull one or two from downtown to put
I guess what I was getting at in a roundabout way here is, do we need more picnic tables or do we mostly just need benches?
It depends on where you're. It all depends on what the people need at that time. I mean, it's kind of a catch-22 as we're talking about this stuff. I mean, we've been having, as we reported earlier, we've got lots of great events going on in town. They seem to be getting bigger. People are saying that the 4th of July and Boyne Thunder, that they saw more people here than they can recall in ever or recent years or whatever. And kind of, we'll add some picnic tables and we'll add some benches, but it seems like we're at least matching or outstripping with the growth of our events the mm-hmm. needs for some of those things. So mm-hmm. of course, people bring those foldable chairs as well, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in some places, picnic tables can kind of they serve as a bench in some respects, mm-hmm. even if you're not picnicking.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess I don't have a good answer for that.
Okay. I was just curious.
Which one we need more than the other.
Which one we, yeah. It was just a question, because I had no idea how many of each we have right now and, you know, for use, so.
Knowing Murphy's Law, wherever we put a picnic table, someone will want to buy
it. That's true. Okay.
Well, one last question, Dan. I meant to ask this before I finish. Did we already buy the ones that we budgeted for this year, the picnic tables? You've already got those in place, right? Since we're halfway through the summer?
We're just buying in sections at a time. So, I mean, by then in August, we will have that money all used up.
Would we have not, if we're saying we have a need for them, why wouldn't we just buy what we approved in the budget to have them here to put throughout the city?
Well, part of it is, you know, one, when they come in a big span like that, I got to take a couple of guys 2-3 days to put them all together at one time. It takes a couple guys to go.
Well, if it takes you a week or a week and a half, I guess.
But I know, but now I can, we can put these things together. We don't have a big staff of stuff sitting here as we have time when they get here. So it's not quite as bad for us to do it that way.
Obviously, our needs during the summertime is when we're going to need them. So I would encourage Mike to follow up on that and try to implement what we've already approved in the budget to get those going.
I'll check on the status of that and report back.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
That's it.
At this time, I'll ask for a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration to apply for a placement in Michael Grant from the Northwest Michigan Council of Governments for improvements to Old City Park as outlined and authorized staff to move forward with the appropriate application.
Second. Oh, go ahead. Let Tom second.
Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Mayor?
Yes.
I guess I should also just mention, I mean, from what I'm hearing, just kind of word on the street type of thing from other communities, that this is going to be a very competitive process. I think there's going to be a lot of people that are applying for these grants. I don't want the commission to go away thinking this is a sure thing or anything of that nature. I think it's going to be very competitive. And, you know, we may only get a portion of the money, but we'll have to figure out what to do with that. So we'll keep you posted as we go forward. Then.
Okay, our next item of new business is the well replacement, the number 4 well at North Boyne, and consideration to authorize Peerless Midwest to make needed repairs to the well in the amount of $27,000 and authorize city manager to execute the required documents. And Dan, give us a summary, please.
As you stated, this is for repair and replacement of well 4 in North Boyne. We put money in the budget to do this repair this year. This well was drilled in 92 by Lane Northern and put into service in 94. The dates that are in the memo I prepared for you were off by 2 years. I put the memo together, I was in a bit of a hurry, and I looked up the date it was drilled, and it was the same date for it in the service. The well was actually in service for a period of 6 years before it failed the first time. We had a catastrophic failure with that well because it was a critical well shaft that was drilled at the first time. We only got about 6 years of runtime on that before it failed. We've gotten 13 years since, primarily because we drilled down the second well and modified well 5 and doubled the length of runtime we had for the well. But last year, we started noticing vibrations and had to check when the well brother was in doing annual projects. And they recommended that we service or replace the well. Since the failure in 2000, I've been talking with Peerless Midwest and with the DEQ engineers about the best way to handle this well. The crooked shaft, we can maintain that vertical turbine pump, that's what we have in there. But the bend in the shafting is going to cause premature wear and failure any time you repair it. It costs just about $24,000 to repair that well every time you take it out. For the same amount of money, we can put a submersible pump in place of the vertical turbine pump. You'll get slightly less life out of a submersible pump than you do a vertical turbine. But we should get back in the 15 to 20 years. So putting in or replacing the pump we have with a submersible pump is the best option. And the cost is basically the same as repairing the pump we have. I've talked to Peerless. They have an engineer on staff. Engineering firms or welfare, as they have engineers on staff or get an engineering firm to do the preliminary work for us. And since I've been with the city, basically, we've had two firms do our law work. Two of the largest municipal firms in the service, basically, this claim. And they do most of the municipal law work in Michigan. We've had good luck with them. I've been working with the city for a couple of years, 15 years now. We've gotten pricing from them, and we've got the pump packet. It's a good pump. It should last and serve the city well, and I think it's the best option for the as well. And we've got the money in the budget. This for the seniors
Thank you, Dan. Do we have any department heads that wish to speak to this subject? Citizens' comments. Okay, we'll move to commission for discussion. Tom, could you start, please?
Well, I think what Dan does really good for us is maintenance. And if you don't do maintenance, it's going to catch up to you. So this is, I see it as a maintenance issue, and we've budgeted the money, and if we don't do it, it's going to cost us more in the future. So I'm in favor.
Okay. Jane?
I also agree with Dan, with the one with the submersible pump. The only question I had, you may have answered it, maybe I didn't hear you, Dan. Does this normally a thing you send out for bid or not?
It could be. A maintenance item we usually haven't. We've had, like I said, the two well drillers, Peerless Midwest and Lake Northern, do our well work for the last 30 years. One firm, like whoever, is more professional services type. They have the largest shops. Necessarily in the state, but Peerless is basically the main office is going to be here. They service Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, but they service this area. It's basically the same. When we have a well rehabbed, I don't necessarily get a firm price on what it's going to cost when we do that. The DEQ recommends we take wells out of service every 5 to 10 years to have them inspected. What it costs to have a service truck come up and pull the well, but then they take it to the shop and inspect it and find out what parts are necessary. We don't know what the total cost is until it gets into the shop. And without, like I said, for the last 30 years with two firms doing this work, they give us good prices. They're totally capable of doing the job.
Thanks, Dan.
Thanks. Dan, just to clarify, we're still going to have the, what you call it, the crooked shaft with the submersible design, so we're not going to re-drill a straight well. What would that cost to...
And to put in a new well?
Yeah.
We drill well 5, that's right next to well 4 in North Point, in 2002. That well cost about $250,000.
Enough said on that.
Yeah.
Obviously, where our gallons per hour and water pressure for the citizens will not go down, I would like to see it. I mean, if anything, it'd be nice to have it go up, I'm sure.
Yeah, we can't have it go up.
Oh, you can't? It's got to be within a set range because of the piping and pressure.
DEQ, no, not by that. DEQ regulates how much water you can withdraw out of the aquifer. So basically, we're approved for so much at that site. Mm-hmm.
I see. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, big question.
We did get an increase when we drilled the well 6 a couple of years ago. So we have an additional well out there for that.
Okay. All right. Obviously, water supply is incredibly important, and I think I may have asked her in the budget session, did we ever get our money back from the people that drilled the crooked well, and I couldn't. We did not. Did we try to get it back?
It was before I was in charge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's unfortunate.
Actually, we rarely do. Sometimes you can get the pot over
the right. Mm-hmm. A performance guarantee in your contract that it didn't meet requirements. So hopefully we don't have those issues anymore.
The driller that drilled that well was the northern. That's probably the main reason we're using peerless right now.
Right.
The other reason would be doing northern for a while is basically concentrating on international sales and then commercialize it. Kind of got out of the municipal for a few years.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm in support of the going with the submersible based on your recommendation and the information I've gathered today. Thank you.
Laura?
I don't have any real pressing questions. It needs to be replaced. It needs to be replaced. The crooked shaft, though, that will not affect the functioning of the submersible?
No. Vertical turbine, what we have in there right now, uh-huh, is basically a big pipe that goes down into the ground.
Okay.
And there's a motor on top of the shaft that goes down and turns on the bottom. The pump head at the top is sitting at about a 5 to 10 degree angle. Mm-hmm. So the shaft is hanging crooked and it's inside the well casing. And as it rotates, it spins. Oh, okay. There's the bearings and the couplings. The submersible pump, the motor, the pump is both in the bottom of the hole. There's a plate that just carries water on the surface. So there's nothing in the shaft that rotates.
Okay. All right. So this should last, then, you said 15 to 20 years?
We're getting 15 to 20 years without having to pull the wells.
Okay.
We probably exceed the 5 to 10 that the state recommends for maintenance.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But a submersible pump, there's a trade-off to it. A submersible pump generally doesn't last as long as a vertical turbine. That's why they use those.
Mm-hmm.
The crooked shaft is
going to
last.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. I'm in favor.
Thank you. I also support the city manager to sign the agreements with Peerless Midwest for the $27,000, and I'll ask for a motion.
Well, I recommend that we authorize the city manager to make the needed repairs to well number 4. As described in the quote from Peerless Midwest for the amount of $27,000.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Sansom?
Aye.
Towns?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item of business is the fire truck bid. Consideration of the fire department request to solicit bids to purchase a new fire pumper with the addition of a compressed air pumping system to bid specifications. And I believe our fire chief Dennis is here, so
when we went to hook up the bids for the truck at that time, we weren't looking at the CAS system that closely. And after we went to FDIC in Indianapolis and meet with the distributors and the technicians, we got a little bit more insight on it, and it looked like it would be a better program for us. And we had some people coming up and doing some demonstrations of that, and the guys really liked it. It looked like it could save us a lot of money in the long run. It's a quite expense to put out at front, but in the meantime, it's supposed to knock down, use less water, less manpower, and it does have other options that we can use for it. It has a built-in compressor we could use for inflating hoses and stuff for water rescue, or run air tools and stuff off into that.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel that this could be a real benefit to the department, and we'd like to see if we could pursue with going out for bids and seeing what this would do for us.
Thank you, Dennis. Staff, department heads, city manager, any further comments?
And we're bringing this to you because we did talk during the bid, the budgeting process about going out for bids on a new truck. This is a little bit of a variation with regards to the truck. We anticipate that it will increase the cost. Dennis estimates by about $30,000 that he expressed in his memo. But since we did have our budget presentation, and he said they went down to the fire conference, learned a little bit more about it then, had people come up and actually put on demonstrations out at North Point, I believe it was, where they tried the phone systems, they've talked to other departments that have had it, and they seem to think that it's worth pursuing. So we're looking for the City Commission's comments with regards to going out for bids on that. There is the money available in the fire funds to handle an additional cost if it does come in at that.
Okay. Citizens' comments. Okay. We'll move to commission for discussion. Lauren, would you like to start, please?
Yeah, I read through this quite thoroughly, and it sounds like a good way to go. I know it's an expense greater than anticipated, but we do have the sale, hopefully, of the old fire truck. No reason to save the old one?
No, not that time, because we want to replace that with another one bumper, and that one's very
okay.
Old. We need to move it on.
And it also sounds like that we can result in some fuel savings from the lower pressure.
Yes.
Needed in.
It uses less water.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
The air and the foam mixed together to make more bubbles.
Right.
And it will heat out quicker and have less free candy.
Okay.
Like
and so we don't have anything in a foam right now to put out a fire?
We have foam. But
okay.
Not the system that's set up.
Okay.
We have now.
All right. So this would be a much better way to go. And then these trucks last a good length of time, I would guess.
Yeah, you're probably looking at 25 years.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in favor of anything that helps save, you know, property or lives. So I don't have an issue with any of that.
Derek?
Thanks, Mayor. Does the CAF system achieve that design mainly for Class A fires? Is it marketed for?
It can be used for all fires because it has you can use it for a thin foam or make it into a real like whipped cream stuff.
Sure.
Fuel spills.
Like hydrocarbon based.
Right. Not only that, it pulls the carbon out of the air too, which makes it quicker to get in and fight the fire.
Sure.
It's mixed with the air.
In addition to the article, my additional research has indicated that, yes, greater reduction in rekindling with the foam.
The demonstration we had up in North Point, we tried to get a bunch of hay, which is
rekindles
sure. real good.
Sure.
And we used the water and the foam, and as the water repels off a lot, you only get so much right. percentage of the water that really puts the fire out. And after that gets warm again, it has a better chance of rekindling. When the foam stayed on and pulled the heat out, it didn't rekindle from that point on.
I don't know if it's still in use. Many years ago, I knew a family friend that was in fire services, and they talked about a product called Water Wider, which basically changed the properties of the water. Is that still in use in the industry?
Still
and
use some of that, yes. It's not as foam and stuff is a little further.
Okay, that was my. How does if it isn't still in use? How does the foam system compare to that, which was designed to make water more?
It makes it wetter.
Wetter, yeah.
Soaks in quicker.
Without getting repelled, yeah.
Right. The foam, what it does, it sticks to that, and the little bubbles pull the heat out.
Right.
It
makes it so it's going to be a quicker and way for the firefighters to actually gain entry into a structure by knocking the fire down quicker than traditionally?
Well, you're going to use the same technique, but also when
right.
you run the air through the line, that line has half water and half air, so it's a lighter line to use.
Sure.
You can use it quicker and get in there.
Okay.
And what they'll do is they'll start at the top and paint their way down, and it seems a tendency to knock the fire down a lot quicker, and it doesn't rekindle back.
Okay.
And the foam also pulls the carbon out of the air, which gives it better clarity to get in there and fight the fire and see what you got going on.
All right. How many other agencies in northern Michigan have this unit?
Hudson Township has it.
Okay.
Torch Lake has it. Mackinac, a bunch of the areas around here have it. We're more starting to become more popular. It's been out there for a long time.
Right.
It just hasn't improved like it wanted to know. They've come a long way with the systems, and it's just a one switch. I mean, you
right.
still have the availability to use just water if you
right.
want to, or foam, or you can use all three.
And there's adjustments depending on the foam, you said. Hudson's been pleased with it when they've used it.
Yes, we went over to the burn over there in Boyne Falls, and they had a couple of big pine trees right next to a house that they burned down, and they sprayed that down with foam before they burned it. It was quite extensive, and that tree came out real. So that's good for protecting other properties okay. and stuff, too.
Yeah. Nice. There, she's,
I saw it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, I think obviously the news media is going to want to know and to be able to pass that down to the citizens so they know what the technology is and the benefits of it and why we're looking at spending additional funds over the initial grant there. Next topic is the actual vehicle itself. And I noticed that you indicated in your memo to us about moving away from used vehicles pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Even though they're in the budget process, it was said, not just by you, but by others, that we can discuss that at a later time when it gets down to it. Well, now is the later time to discuss mm-hmm. it. And obviously, everybody likes new. I mean, I don't know anybody that doesn't like new. And obviously, you referenced safety issues. Obviously, safety in this situation is a non sequitur because that's a given, okay? Mm-hmm. Regardless of what the actual vehicle is, what are some of the areas and places that you've looked for proper fire vehicles that are used? Obviously, we wouldn't want one from a large metro area where they run a fire unit on every ambulance call. But
they have magazines that put out okay. used vehicles out there for sale. And we're at FDC, where we did meet with some people
sure.
that we sell vehicles and told us what we thought we could get for our used vehicle.
Right.
And so forth. We went and looked out. Most of the stuff that we've seen out there today was probably 6 to 7 years old. Most of the stuff there is doesn't seem to be a lot out there. There's some demo stuff, but usually the demo stuff is the big expensive stuff that they're on the demo, then they try to get rid of. Mm-hmm. But what you're trying to do with your number one truck is you set your trucks up the needs and the way your department operates.
Sure.
Which we operate with front suction, and we want to go with the calf system, and we want to go with a lower profile truck to get in and out of the around mm-hmm. the lake areas. The driveways mm-hmm. are hard to get in and out of, and the way we got it set up. So it's tough to find trucks out there that meet your needs. And not only that, your mm-hmm. number one pumper is your main attack truck, which is mm-hmm. what you based your
sure.
your stuff on for your. Mm-hmm. Fire ratings and stuff. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that if you're going to have it for 25 years or 30 years, you want to get one that's going to be there and mm-hmm. do the job that you want to do and not have problems with it.
Oh, sure, that's understandable. Obviously, if there's any concern over certification for NFPA, you know, you can get your ladders, the pump tested, and DOT, and you're good to go. And obviously, if a rig isn't, you know, even 6 to 7 years old, they're stored out of the weather, they're you guys maintain them immaculately. I'm sure that's in any given area. So my concern wouldn't be as far as reliability. I mean, there's going to be standards, and then beyond the NFPA cert, then you could. There's obviously entities that would certify the rest of the vehicle, and you know, you'd make that as part of the purchase agreement. I know there's tremendous savings in that market, but you're indicating now. Let's look at. So I think we can eliminate that as a concern issue topic, but if we go to configuration and design issues, you know, now we've entered a different area, and if you're saying that this is what we have to have or this is what we strongly desire to maintain our certification or to get into, you know, rural driveways or tight areas and that type of thing, you know. And you indicated that coast to coast, you haven't found any of those that even a 6 to 7 year old vehicle, nothing you found has met the other criteria.
Well, we've first been somewhere, but we don't look at anything further than mm-hmm. 6 or 7 years down the road.
Sure. Sure.
We just felt that you're getting into right. somebody else's problem.
But in that range, there's
25 years. I mean, even our truck now, our number one truck,
right.
quite a bit of money. Years, but.
So in the 7 years and under, you didn't find anything out there that would generate enough financial offset to.
Well,
not to wait, I mean, to find, if you find a truck there, tend to go over retrofit it the way we want it run in our department, you're going to probably have another $30,000 to $40,000 better into it. It could be fixed.
Are we that unique in our requirements than everybody else, that nobody would have anything close?
No, it's just that we run with the front suction, a lot of them don't.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's the way we like to upgrade. All our trucks do have it that way, so that's how our department's used to running. If we're going to throw calves on here, a lot of trucks that old don't know how to have calves on them.
Right. And they cannot be retrofitted?
That's $40,000 to put calves on.
Okay.
And then you have to retrofit it into a truck instead of when it's new, so it's going to cost more at that point.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, get the truck to, you know, if it's a backup truck or something, they would say, let's go more into that. But I think for our number one main truck that we're doing our tax with and our stuff like that.
Sure.
And departments, when they buy a new truck like that, a number one truck, they're usually keeping for 25 years. If they're getting rid of them for that, they're pretty reason why they are.
Financial issues, perhaps?
Systems that was up to standard that they thought it would be when they bought it. You know, I don't know. There are some trucks out there, but I felt that I'm better off at one way.
I just want to be clear for the citizens, and obviously, like I said, safety and the actual vehicle as far as reliability and performance, that not an issue. That way we can tell them we've done our due diligence when it comes to spending their money on equipment, and that you've at least looked at it. You've indicated today that you've balanced all the criteria and what's on the market versus the cost. I do see an advantage to the CAF system to have that available. All right. I
a lot of the trucks out there today have the 4 or 6 man cabs on them.
Right.
And, that's not bad, but I think for trying to get in for a more maneuverability into the areas, I think we'd be better off to go with another system. Commercial style, yeah, no.
All right. My question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Good questions. Jane?
Yeah, I've read this over. I believe it's our duty, your obligation to supply our firefighters with the safest equipment we can get and afford to get them. I personally wouldn't want to purchase another department's problems and have to put a lot of money into it. I'm okay with getting bids for the fire pump.
Okay. Tom?
I appreciate Derek and Dennis's conversation. I agree with Gene, and I'm in favor.
Thank you. Yeah, I think one of the answers that Dennis spoke to was the, the specialized training of synchronized, you know, because of, you know, there's conformity and use of all the equipment too, and it's the other thing I'm thinking about too is I'm not sure in our overall fire department budget how much, what the dollar amount is that's for capital equipment replacement, and we also partner in the, you know, with 6 townships for fire service, and they pay into, you know, our cost of doing business, and we try to apportion it fairly. We do it on an SEB basis. We've done that for about 14 years now, and it's worked out well. So they have a stake in this too, the 6 townships that we do have top-notch equipment, and thank you for the dialogue, especially the questions you raised there, Derek. It was excellent. And let the citizens know that you're particularly, you know, our township residents, that we want to give them first-class equipment and first-class organization as far as service. And so I support this also, and I'll ask for a motion.
One quick question.
Yeah.
How do you replace the foam? How does that come?
The foam comes in 5 gallon containers. We have a 40 gallon or 30 gallon foam tank on the dock. And then the new truck will get, if we get it, we'll have a leak, stick a hose into the bucket to fill itself back up. Okay. Instead of having to carry it back up on top, you can fill it from both ways. You will use a little bit more foam with this system, but it will use less water. And hopefully, we won't have to haul as much water back and forth down the road, and then we'll have to be in there fighting the fire system.
Okay.
I got a request on the floor for a motion.
I'll make the motion for consideration of fire department request to solicit bids to purchase a new fire pumper with additions of a compressed air foam system to bid specifications.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Town.
Aye.
Gaylord.
Aye.
Grunch.
Aye.
Needhammer.
Aye.
Sampson.
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Our next item of business today is the request of the city manager to go into closed session to consider periodic personnel evaluation of a public officer as provided in MCL 15268 of the Michigan Open Meetings Act, Public Act 267 of 1976. Before I ask for a motion to do that, we'll take care of good of the order and announcements. First, we'll go with good of the order, and let's start with Tom.
No, nothing.
Jane?
I have nothing today.
Derek?
Thanks. A couple things. First, I was down at Peninsula Beach recently, walking on the beach, and looked down, I pulled up what appeared to be large braided wire that had been bent, had some loose ends on it, it was sticking right up. And I thought, well, that'd be nice if somebody walked right on that and shoved that right up the bottom of their foot. One thing I took away, quite a few things, but one of the things I took away from the experience with the Mayor's Exchange in Manistee was what pride they took in their beaches. And the is either daily, or Mike can maybe clarify, daily or every other day, you know, that their council bought them a beach screening machine and said, we want you to use it, and they do, and it was clearly evident. I mean, those beaches looked like something in the Caribbean. They were that nice. And for all the wonderful things that we have here in Boyne City, I think the actual sand and beach quality could probably be improved, and I'd like to look at either the cost of getting that from Charlevoix more often to run on our beaches, or other options through either maybe not necessarily a Charrington device that they have, but something else that we can do. I think that's an area that we can maybe put a little more focus and attention on. And again, this specific comment was regarding Peninsula Beach, but obviously it would apply to all of our beaches. So. Yeah. I think that's something we could look into, and we can only improve from there and kind of bring up to the rest of our Morrisville community. The other thing was, I was curious in this little flyer we got with the tax bill. There was an article called Quality Neighborhood Program. Mike, who is the author of that article?
I am thinking that was Leslie. Okay. Is that the one with regards to... And you can refresh me on that, please.
Well, it talks about the City of Boyne City Comprehensive Code Program.
Yep.
And
yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Leslie.
Okay, interesting. Kind of, when I first read it, I thought something that kind of struck me as a little odd, and then I got a couple folks asked me about it, and it was in the same section that I found interesting. Part of it talks about the base of a code enforcement program rests upon each of us acting as good neighbors. We all have property rights that protect us. However, the term property rights also implies that a property owner has certain responsibilities. And I'd like, that was the part that I'd like a little clarification on exactly what they mean by that. I bounced it off a few other people, and they were confused by that statement as well. Owner has property rights. In other words, it's your property, but you really don't have all the rights of owning that property. That's kind of what the wording of that was there. I found it intriguing, and like I said, a couple citizens contacted me on that as well. So that's why I want to know who drafted that article.
A lot of gray area.
There appears to be some personal opinion in that article. I was curious as to who the author was on that. A little bit heavy-handed with regards to it's yours, but it's not yours, and we're going to remind you that it's not yours. That was the impression when I first read that. I was like, obviously we want to keep our neighborhoods looking nice, but it came across pretty strong there. And that was, again, so I bounced it off some other people in addition to a couple of folks that contacted me, and they were struck as odd and didn't understand what that was intending to mean there. So if I get some clarification, or...
I'd be glad to look at the article again.
I know I'm
like 95% sure that it was Leslie that did it, but I wanted to double check my notes. She was in charge of the code, and she did a lot of the local code enforcement with regards to that, and seemed to be having good success, so I think she wanted to deal with it. But I'd have to go and read the article again so I could refresh myself.
Most of the article is generic, and obviously we all wanted our town to look good, but it was just that one paragraph there that was a little interesting, I should say.
Yeah, I'd be glad to read it and communicate with the commission.
Make sure we're not coming across too heavy-handed on our residents and tell them that what's theirs is not theirs. That was my interpretation of it. Anyways, that's all I have for good of the order today. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Laura?
On the opposite note from that, didn't we not have some kind of an award for people who did outstanding jobs on their gardens or lawn areas, you know, their presentation in the neighborhoods? Didn't we used to give an award for that years back?
Yes, and Cindy might have some more information.
Do we not do that anymore?
It was the Marvin Loading Inn. It was handled through, I believe, the Planning Commission.
Uh-huh. Scott's not here.
Okay. Yes, it was handled through the Planning Commission. We advertised and looked for people to nominate, you know, businesses, community pride award, that type of thing, and residents.
Can we not resurrect that? I've noticed lately there's a couple of really outstanding places in the community where people have really gone all out and done a wonderful, beautiful gardens and, you know, just taken a piece of... up where I live, near me, even a city property where he's planted a beautiful arrangement, you know, I mean, just, and he tends it really well. Another lady down the street who has the most incredible flowers in front of her home, it's like something out of a picture book, you know, that you would just, and it just, every time I drive by it, I go, wow, I wish I could be that kind of gardener, it's just beautiful. And the people have taken pride in doing that and making that whole block come alive and make it something really attractive. It would be nice to see again. And I thought about that the other day when I was driving by these places and thinking about it. It would be nice to have back again.
We actually got one year.
Did you? Yeah. See, and I drive by yours and I notice too. So, you know, it's...
plenty of water.
But anyway, it was just something we might want to look into doing again down the road. The other thing is, and this is a question for Jim Bowman, how many visitors did we have by best guesstimates over the 4th of July? Because I've heard all kinds of numbers. I've heard a number.
I've heard 10 to 12,000 is a number.
And I've heard up to 18 from a number of people.
And a lot of people said this 4th of July was bigger than ever before. Certainly in the 5 years that I've been back, it was.
What I've heard from all businesses.
Lake Street Market, the term they used was they demolished their sales record.
Yes. So, I've heard the same thing from across the board from all businesses, 2 to 3 times what it was last year in a lot of cases.
Good weather, four-day weekend, all those things.
And I also think that this year, in general, the feeling I've gotten is way up. consistently since the 4th. It didn't drop like it normally does. It came down a little, but it's still, I've heard numbers where it's incredible.
Boyne Thunder.
Yeah. But I mean, even this week, even after Boyne Thunder, it's still going really strong. It hasn't come down from that either.
You would know.
I would know. You bet. I know. And so the feeling from my observation and from other people I've talked to, that business is way up. It stayed up, and I think we have just a lot more visitors. I've talked to a lot of out-of-town people the last few days, and they're from Indiana, Ohio, Southern Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Canada. You know, and those are we're drawing a lot of people who have never been here before, who haven't been here in many years, consistently. And
what's their feedback, Ben?
The Pure Michigan ads are working, I think, a lot in those areas. seems to be people are drawn to this this area, especially Boyne City. They've heard a lot about Boyne City, a lot of positive things. They've come to check it out. And I think our visitor rate is way up over last, any time in the last 10 years. I think way over last year, for sure, consistently. So that's good news for the economy here.
And people, when they come into our office, they, you know, sometimes they've never been here before. And it's like, boy, this is a really cool town. I had any idea. And we're always getting comments like that. And you're right, we've had people. We ran people from South Carolina in the office this morning, Texas yesterday.
Yeah, and had a lot from the South, too. Yeah. And in the number one word that I keep hearing is, this is a beautiful little town. It's just seems to be consistently that kind of
feedback. I was talking to some business owners as well, too, and they would echo. I haven't heard anything contrary to that from anybody, that you know something was down or things were pessimistic. The word I often hear used to describe our community is friendly.
Yes,
keep
friendly.
Coming up time and time again. They just like beautiful interacting and friendly, with the people, and they'll stop somebody on the streets, and not only will they give them directions to where they need to go, they'll actually walk them over there or something.
I hear the same things. So, but more so this year than ever, is all I can say. A lot more of that. So. That's all I have.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that idea, you know, and a reminder that it's really time we bring back that community award program, because, you know, and recognize the people that have taken these 50 and 100-year-old homes and turned them into castles and flower gardens.
Yeah.
And it's happening all over town, and it's like enthusiasm is contagious. You know, it just breeds more success.
Yes.
You know, and making it a likable small community that people want to come to. And it's obvious too. You know, the non-homestead homes and occupiable dwellings is probably close to 30% of our total. You know, demographic total, I think, about 2,300. And people want to come here, and they're just doing marvelous things. So I think you're bringing that to the table is something we really should work on, these awards. So,
Mr. Mayor, can I respond as a planning commissioner?
Sure.
Speaking in response to Laura, you're right, it was the Marvin Loading. We had three categories. We had residential, industrial, and business. And the applications came from townspeople, and it came before us, and we elected. And we stopped it for a good reason. I can't remember the reason.
I think we stopped getting applications.
Exactly. That was
I think it, we I think getting, it just kind of
we
died.
Okay.
Yes.
But, I mean, it may be time to resurrect it, and, you know, that'd be great.
With our chamber newsletter and the success of
that. Before Facebook.
And the city website and everything else. Now, I would think there would be a lot more.
Okay.
My recollection is similar to Tom's. It seemed like the last few years it was struggling, and we're kind of trying to put press releases out. We had articles in the newsletters, my recollection, trying to remind people that they work for him. We just weren't getting any submittals. So I'm all in favor of it. I thought it was a great idea. Still had.
Yeah, and maybe because of the economy, people kind of stopped doing a lot of that. But now, in the last couple of years, I've noticed where it's just on an upswing, and a lot more people are doing those kinds of things again. And
we can dust off that stuff and see if we can.
Okay.
We'll take it back to the Planning Commission and get the materials out. And maybe there's some tweaking that can be done to it to make it a more effective awards program.
Okay.
Yeah. Also speaking to your comments, Derek, I guess I don't, again, as a Planning Commissioner, I don't see any heavy-handed implication in the article published by the city. Because as a city, as a property owner, you do have an obligation to build within standards, within setbacks, within height restrictions, within keeping your driveway clean and making your sidewalk clean and making your yard clean. I think it means nothing more than that. There are obligations as a property owner that you do have. Mm-hmm. And I don't, and those are usually Planning Commission standards. So I didn't interpret it as you did.
Right. It goes on into the next paragraph. It talks about no property within the city may be used or maintained in a manner which downgrades values, enjoyment, or safety of one or own surrounding property. So you get into beauties in the eye of the beholder, and if somebody, if they don't like what you're doing, you know, maybe you like what you're doing, how it's on your property, and they, you know, they don't like it, then we get into a, you know, subjectivity versus meeting planning codes or things like that. That's, I probably should have followed up into the next paragraph, kind of tie that in. So that was the gist of the
both good points.
Yeah.
So
sure. Thanks.
Announcements. The next regular City Commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, August 13, 2013. Also, the deadline to receive petitions from City Commissioner candidates is Tuesday, August 13th at 4 p.m. Our next item of business is to go into closed session, but before we go, I'd like some feedback from the Commission if they're what I would like to do, and it usually goes hand in hand with evaluation of the city manager's evaluation, is also to review his compensation. And what's done in the past is to have a compensation committee, and what I would like to do is appoint two commissioners to that to work along with Mike to work their way through it. And my thought process was take the most senior people underneath me to appoint them. But I don't know if this is the time and place to do it, but anytime we review compensation, that's done in an open meeting. It's not a closed meeting subject, but I would like to do it in a fair and responsible way. So I'm open to suggestions from the Commission if anybody agrees to that process, or if everybody agrees to that, and then I'll appoint two people to the committee.
Is that what has always been done on the Boyne City Commission?
Since I've been here?
Yeah.
Yes, that's generally what the practice has been whenever there's been a review of my compensation. In the past, I believe, I'm trying to remember who, I know Chuck was on the committee once. I think Chuck and Ron were on it once, and I think Eleanor, and I'm trying to remember who was on it before that. But the couple times there was a couple members of the City Commission that met with me, and then I think they met with the Commission without me around and had some discussions as well, too.
I am in favor of that process.
Okay.
The three senior seniority, with the most seniority, would be on the subcommittee, and it is, if it's been done in the past, review compensation, and I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I think you have to be careful on that number. I think I just heard you say three. There's two members of the commission. If you have a third member on the commission, then they're all open meetings.
It's a quorum.
Correct.
Yeah, this would allow you to do it.
I thought you meant you and two.
No, I...
There's always two others.
Under
it was just two.
You know,
oh,
excuse me. I would like to remove myself from the process and appoint Jean and Laura if they'll accept the, if they're the next senior members of the committee. If so, are you okay with that, Jean?
I'm all right with it.
Okay, well, at this time, I'll make a motion that Gene and Laura be appointed to Compensation Commission to, after the evaluation is completed with the city manager.
Okay.
Can I have a second from someone?
And they report back to the full board then?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, at this time, I'm going to make a motion that we go into closed session to consider periodic personal evaluation of public officers provided in MCL 15268 of the Michigan Open Meetings Act, Public Act 267 of 1976. And it is 1:30. We will come back after the session, but there'll be no discussion that I know of.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but can I ask a question related to the announcements? The fact that the petitions are due for commission candidates, could I ask publicly, it seems to me that Mayor Grunch, Commissioner Town, and Commissioner Sansom are the ones that are up for election. Could I ask you to publicly state whether you're going to run if you've decided or if you haven't, to do so as quickly as possible so that the citizens know whether we need to replace our commissioners? It's just a request, but rather than waiting until August 12th, I think it affords some, you know, conversation in the community like, well, we're losing so-and-so, we better find somebody good to replace them. So that's just a request. You don't have to do it right this minute, but I would just, you know, I think that it's only 3 weeks away.
No.
It may have caught a lot of people.
Well, we're here right now, and it's a good question. Thank you for bringing it up, and I'll respond to it, but I plan to run for re-election myself. Gene, do you have a comment?
I'm going to run again.
Laura?
I will be running.
Great.
Okay, so... Thank you for raising that question. Did we get a second on my motion to go into closed session?
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.